Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. As you may know, the Dublin City Council have established a new committee and a new role. It's called heading Dublin City's efforts for city recovery after the pandemic. It's a city recovery task force. That's what they're calling it, a city recovery task force. And the whole idea is to get the city livened up again between the two canals and Euston Station. Well, between the two canals and Euston Station is Cabra, a very old settled suburb in Dublin. Mark Rafferty. Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
What did you try and do and what happened?
So, look, we opened during the kind of pandemic last year, in June and July.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so successful. People wanted seats outside and somewhere to go. And
you're a coffee shop and a hardware.
We're a coffee shop, a little bit unusual, the hardware cafe,
Okay.
So, look, it was so, like myself and Derek are kind of from Cabra, born and dragged up, as they say. So, it was well received and well welcomed. And the support we get from the locals is heartwarming, Joe, yeah.
And what was the space you wanted to utilise?
It's the shop frontage, I suppose you'd call it, which is kind of on our own land. We kind of contacted DCC.
Because
originally.
The shop, you need to explain it better, Mark, sorry. The shops are set back from the road. Between your frontage and the road is not just common or garden pavement. Your shop is two car lengths back from the pavement. Isn't that correct?
Three car lengths.
Okay.
Now
we're sucking diesel. So you've a big space out there that's not dependent. That's not installed for people walking through. It's actually set back from the road. Just to explain that. Okay. What did you want to do?
We wanted to put a little fence. Well, we did. We put a little fence around it, and we put down some false grass,
mm-hmm.
and we put in about 8 tables, to accommodate people to sit down and take the weight off for a minute. It's only coffees and cakes and sandwiches that we kind of do anyway. It's only light, but it was well received and well welcomed under the. Especially in the COVID times.
So what happened? The corporal said no.
I made the calls to DCC and it turns out I contacted the furniture division. So it was the wrong street furniture. So it was the wrong department. They kind of didn't have a problem with it, but it wasn't their department. So we had a visit from DCC who said we weren't being compliant. So we were a bit shocked at this. And then we applied to kind of get it right. But we did the system itself, Joe, is something I didn't kind of find very helpful or understanding, in what are we allowed, what are we not allowed, any particular colour, shape, size, height, all that type of stuff. There was no kind of guideline. So, look, I sent in the photographs. It's not too imposing on the area. And look, even before we did this, we did a petition for the locals to ask them, look, are you happy enough with this in the area?
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 190 signatures on it. And I mean from the road and surrounding areas of people that wanted this in their area,
So you have a picket fence, artificial grass, some big flower pots, and then you have perspex, which is a barrier.
Look, I wouldn't class it as the it's not the most elaborate, but look, under the times we reacted quickly to put something in and to be honest with you, we did kind of pick a fence first and then we added in the other piece to make it a bit more comfortable for people for the breeze or blown over their coffee or their cake, just to make it a little bit more secluded,
Okay, and have you any other, what else did you want to put in?
So on our application then, so when we applied, we applied to put in a pergola or something over it for the rain, for the days that it's raining and that type of stuff. Up to that, we had a canopy that we put out on the days that was raining just to protect people. Like, in fairness, the people came to us and said, listen, put up some sort of an umbrella or cover. We'll still come up and support you and we'll still give us somewhere to go on the rainy days. So we did. So we kind of reacted to what the people wanted, as opposed to only what we wanted, you know.
But I thought Dublin City Council were saying, I thought you could, once you weren't interfering with it, I thought they'd, because of the pandemic, they've got rid of all the red tape that you could. If there was space outside, you could put out seats and that they wouldn't look for money off you, because it was a money spinner.
Yeah, well, look, they haven't, like, money-wise, they didn't ask, apart from the application for, obviously, planning permission. And same again, I think this might cross over, Joe, between the planning department and also...
Okay, well, let's go through the DCC rules. The public domain is safe and navigable. You're not interfering with the public domain. Is that my understanding?
No.
Do you own that property? Where your picket fence is, do you own that property?
My understanding is yes. It's within the landlord.
And it doesn't... I've tweeted a photograph of it there. People can see the space. Can I use the footpath? You're not using the footpath, are you not?
No.
Okay, but it does say, can I use the footpath in front of my business for furniture? It says generally you can, but you'd need to apply for it. But you're not using that footpath at all.
No, we're not using the footpath. And we didn't even bring it out that far, Joe. We left about
What type of furniture is covered under the Temporary Street Furniture COVID Permit 2020-2021? Tables, chairs, barriers, windbreakers, awnings, coverings, heaters, electric apparently fed gas heaters, lights only, lights, gazebos, dining pods and umbrellas. All furniture must be capable of being removed every evening and stored off street. But this is on your property. You're not interfering with anyone.
No one
with a buggy or a visually impaired person walking along that road would come next or near your picket fence.
No.
Okay. Now, Deirdre Phoenix is next door to you in Studio One Salon. How are you, Deirdre?
Hiya.
Joe@rt.ie is the email.
Hiya, Joe.
And Deirdre, you objected. Why?
No, I have no objection with the seats and all that. It's the three shops. There's a crush, there's Mark and Derek and myself in the corner.
Okay.
And I had no problem. It's a forecourt for the three shops. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem ranting. Mark asked me putting out tables. I said, no problem. It was lovely to see it out in the air in the summer. He put more tables out and I had no problem. Then he started wanting to put a hoarding. And I asked him to keep it to a certain height. And... we tried to work together, but Mark wasn't having it. So Mark put a thing up and he put a canopy up over it and he put in for planning permission and to Dublin City Council. And I put in an objection because it's blocking off my shop.
Okay, you said objection, obstruction to my shop, blocking light and visibility to my shop, passing trade unable to view my shop due to camp light structure, forecourt being used as a cafe, not as a coffee to go.
No, I didn't put that in at all. There was nothing about it being used as a coffee shop at all. I had no objection with that at all.
Okay, that's not the thing we got from the council. Your comments, and it says signed Deirdre Phoenix. Forecourt being used as a cafe. So you had no objection. That's gone.
Yeah, no, I had no objection with that. It was the hoarding around it.
Okay.
And the block of my shop. You couldn't see my shop from the main road. And customers have been ringing me. They couldn't ring me and couldn't find the shop.
But surely hairdressing isn't something, apart from men, of course. Hairdressing isn't something you do when you're rambling around town, you decide to get your hair done.
I get a lot of work from the internet as well, and they might be in the area and just ring you to see if you've got an appointment. Okay. Or 2 minutes away from being to come along then, and run the main cab road, you can't see the shop.
Well, would it help if we put a sign up beside...
The reason the Dublin City Council have refused this is it's the scale of the period and the material of the development and the complete, with contrary to visible amenities required, is that the zoning area and the objective to protect and provide them for residential amenities. So if that's for it, though, it's because of the stuff that's up that's going up. That's why Dublin City Council have objected to it.
Blocking light
sorry,
and
Joe,
Derek, yes, sorry. Mark.
Sorry, Joe. Hey, Deirdre.
Hiya.
Yeah, look, same again, Joe. I felt we tried our best to accommodate the four businesses that are here, or the five businesses, which is Deirdre's, ourselves, Derek, the Montessori next door, and there's also a doctor's surgery kind of next up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And right, regarding parking, but we asked every single business beside us listen, he's okay with this. And all the businesses, in fairness, use our facility here, whether it's to come in and one of them buys a lunch and the four of them sit down to have their lunch together. We want to be part of the community as being, we're not in it. Look, we have to make money, obviously. But that's not our main objective. It's a nice atmosphere that people can somewhere can go. When I was putting up the hoarding, you're right, and Deirdre is right in what she's saying. I put it up as a request by the people, but if you put something up, Mark, to stop the wind, we still come down. But the breeze with the picket fence was kind of, you know,
okay, so well, the hoarding is half glass, half material. So what height is the hoarding?
And I think in total it's about 6 foot, roughly, Joe.
Yeah, so it looks lower than that to me.
About 6 foot in total. And in fairness, I did, when I was putting it up, I even went to Deirdre and said, look, if you want me to put your sign, your name of your hairdresser on the side of it.
You're willing to do that, are you? Are you willing
absolutely,
to do that?
Absolutely. I said that to Deirdre, that I would do that for her. There's no problem. But she wasn't.
Okay, well. Deirdre, do you not think it would bring more people to the spot, to these shops?
As I said, I'd no problem. I've asked Mark to bring the hoarding down a little bit, not put the top on up like that. Yes, it's really yawning.
But the top is perspex. You can see through it.
No, but he was putting it over that.
Where are you? Hang on, where are you, Mark?
Yeah, I
look, roll over that.
Oh, no, you can't. No, you can't do that, Mark.
No, I put up a gazebo. I put a gazebo up when it was raining out, to help protect people so they can sit down. You know, same again with the gazebo. You know yourself, you can only have it up in certain winds.
Yeah, but that would block Deirdre's view.
Oh, well, look, it probably would.
How far out does your awning go? When you have an awning?
No, I don't have an awning.
Oh, okay, you don't have one of those.
It was only a gazebo. No, I don't, Joe, no. And to be honest with you,
Hang on. Deirdre, would you object to a retractable awning coming out only when it rains?
No problem.
Well, what about that, Mark? Like, can't you get a grant?
I don't think the awning's come out far enough, Joe. I don't think it's no far enough to cover people. You know, when the wind catches them, you need to be really under them, you know.
Hang on, I saw a van the other day. What difference does this make? Man sees van, hold the front page. I saw a van the other day, it says awnings all. I was up in Glasnevin there during the 1916 stuff, and I saw Kavanagh's, the gravediggers, I saw them putting up an awning.
Right, okay.
Putting up an awning. Now, Cavanagh's is closed, unfortunately. The best pub in Dublin.
It is closed.
But it's closed. So everyone's dying to get into it. The grave did.
Yeah.
But they were putting up what looked like a pretty sophisticated awning.
I didn't see. Look, I did have a look at that type of stuff, Joe. And I couldn't see one that was, you know, that would be suitable.
Okay.
And also, for cost-wise, you know.
Well, it'd be terrible. I know. It'd be terrible for the two of you to fall out. It's a great spot. And you're in competition. Deirdre, you're in competition with the 17 shops, aren't you?
Yeah. Look, I've no problem. I've been here 40 years and I've never had any problems. I never would have any problems. And I worked with Mark as best I could. And I've no problem with that. But I do have a problem when my shop is blocked off. And, you know, it's not my problem. I have them in the corner. We're both trying to make a living, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It's lovely to see the cafe. It was gorgeous to see in the summer, everyone going in and out.
Okay.
And it does. It's lovely.
Well, it sounds like Deirdre and Mark, you're right beside each other, but you're not too far apart, if you follow me.
Yeah.
In your...
Well, I did try to work with Mark, and I have no problem with that.
Okay, well, who could we get to sit down? And what about Aidan Perry or one of the councillors to sit down with the two of you?
Yeah, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, to be honest with you, Joe, I think more the problem is that, and it's very hard to find out with DCC exactly what you're allowed, not allowed, what you should have, what's fair and not fair. And when we put in our plan of mission, we put in for...
Ciarán Perry, yes. Ciarán Zaido, I know, is the brother. It's Ciarán, I know, as well.
Yeah.
Ciarán Perry,
Counselor.
So we put in the for a pergola on the planning for a pergola to the top with metal structure with a clear roof that you could see through it and open as well, so you wouldn't block shops. And the main reason for putting in for that, Joe, was something that the guys didn't have to pull in and out every night. It was safer as people for wind and that type of stuff. Okay. But if the council had to come back and said, listen, Mark, you can't have that, but you can have the seats and no problem, great.
But go ahead, Deirdre.
I guess I'd have no problem with the seating out there. It's lovely. It looks lovely and vibrant in the summer. People coming in. It's just that I don't want people off the end, and I've no problem. I mean, I asked Mark before, he was putting a metal thing up, but he could put a certain height. I'd no problem with that. None whatsoever.
Okay. We're getting somewhere. And what about Deirdre? Would you, Mark, where are you proposing to put Deirdre's new sign? Is it at the bottom part of your perspex there?
Well, I offered if we put something up and to make her shop more visible from one side, that if she wanted to put the sign on the side of whatever shown that it's in. But you said no to that, Deirdre.
Mark did ask me that, and I said no, I didn't want to put it there. I don't want to put a sign up on his top. Yeah. I just want my own shop to be visible. You know, and I've no problem with that. If I asked him to come down a bit in the height of it, and I'd have no problem with it. I'm just not covering because it's been covered in, I can't see the shop.
So, Deirdre, my understanding is the structure that's now that we put up on Twitter at Joe Liveline, at RTE Liveline, which has the wood about 2 feet and then the perspex, whatever it is, about 3 or 4 feet on top of that. Are you okay with that, Deirdre?
Well, it was no problem. I had to talk about that. You have the piece out there, and I have no problem with it coming to us there at night. Once from the top, it's not blocked up. They put the top onto it. Like I say, you couldn't see from anywhere, you know, on the cover road.
As the weather gets better, you might need the top.
No, absolutely, Joe. And look, to be honest with you, anyone that sat out there, and Deirdre would know,
okay, so you,
our customers just came out. Yeah. I wouldn't put it out. It's only more. And look, it's not for lashings of rain, it's our wind. Mm. It's only for a cover if someone is sitting down. Okay. And look, our customers come here for 5 or 10 minutes.
But you have to live with your neighbours as well.
Like, absolutely.
Deirdre's been there 40 years.
She has, in fairness.
Andrew Draper, Andrew.
Hi, Joe.
Joe at RT Daddy. You know this little cafe in Cabra?
Yeah, it's a little gem. It's only been opened, like you said, since the beginning of the pandemic, which is a tough time to open in the first place.
Yeah.
And they've thrived. And the local community loves the place.
Okay.
The fact that we're missing out on the seating now is, it's hard work. And I know a lot of people in the area can't wait for it to reopen. And the prospect of it not reopening is actually quite sad. And, you know, everybody loves meeting there. The staff are fantastic. The people you get to meet there, everybody's always chatting, having a great time. It really needs to reopen. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Mary Costello. Thanks, Andrew. 51551 my chance. Mary Costello, owner of Costello and Costello. Where's Costello and Costello, Mary Costello?
We're on the corner of Chatham Street and Clarendon Street. That's just off Grafton Street.
And what do you do, Mary?
We do fashion accessories.
Okay.
Fashion accessories.
So you're in the heart of the pandemic socialising area, aren't you?
This is
the area that's taken off during the pandemic. Powers Court, that street,
absolutely.
The street is nearly, it's pedestrianised by the fact that the number of pedestrians on it. You're taking your life in your hands if you want to drive up that way, if you can.
That's part of the problem that, the pedestrianisation is grand in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a lot of young people into the city, which is fine. But there isn't enough of a mixture of people being encouraged into the city. We found during the trial pedestrianisation last year that, the whole demographic changed. We need people to be able to bring their cars in, to be able to cycle in, to walk, to take the bus, whatever. Not just one type of person, if you know what I mean. I may not be explaining myself very well, but it's just the way DCC has organised things.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to want to turn this area into another Temple Bar. All the emphasis is on you know, hospitality, cafes, restaurants, and I'm delighted for them. That they're doing well. But the rest of us aren't getting the shout. We're not getting any help from DCC. It's very hard to sort of contact them and talk to them. Just as your programme came on, I was looking up the number for there's a new task force.
Yeah, Coley and O'Reilly, yeah.
Yeah, I had tried contacting him before, but...
And nobody's listening. What would you be saying to him, Mary?
Well, just that they shouldn't be trying to discourage... A variety of people in their cars. And I think people are more and more disinclined to drive into the city. They want the cyclists and the walkers and the young people, but a neighbour of ours says, you know, if you're coming into town to spend a bit of money in Brown Thomas's or Weir's, you probably won't be doing that. So maybe you see what I'm saying.
But Mary, you know where you are, if I'm correct. You're near Peter's Pub, the best pub in Dublin.
Absolutely.
You're near, there's a load of coffee shops.
Yep.
Mel, Bar Rua, that's a new...
Bar Rua, exactly. Yeah. We've a Butler's,
Starbucks. A Butler's is great, best coffee shop in Dublin. But if somebody came to you, Mary, and said, by the way, do you own your premises?
No, we're renters.
You see, could you move nearer BTs and nearer Weirs if that's your clientele?
Absolutely not. Have you any idea of the rents on Grafton Street?
There's stories yesterday in the papers, is Grafton Street dying?
I know.
Yeah, I know. That has to change. The most expensive real estate in the world, Grafton Street.
The shops there are empty. Well, not all of them, obviously, but there are empty shops. But you can bet your bottom dollar that the rents are still going up. That's just, they only ever seem to go the one way.
Well, then that'll be supply and demand. People won't go in there.
Yeah, maybe.
But if you got somewhere nearer BT's, down the far end of that street, and nearer Weir's, and near Kitchenick, all great little shops. Beside the old stand, the best pub in Dublin, and beside the International Bar, the best pub in Dublin. If you got down nearer there at the same rent, and your landlord said, well, I've had an application to turn, you're in a brilliant spot, to turn that corner into a cafe or a bar or bistro. Would that help? No.
But what are you saying now? Are you saying that...
Would you swap?
That we should... Why should we have to swap? You know, it's a great location.
Mary, if you're dependent on car traffic...
Yes.
You're a goner.
Oh, no, listen, and Mary, I'm not talking about being dependent. I'm just saying we need... a mix.
Before the pandemic...
Yeah.
The policy of Dublin City Council is to get rid of cars from the city centre. You know that.
Absolutely. I know that. But I think in practical terms, that's a non-runner, ultimately. Unless you just want people who are going to come into town to have a coffee or whatever. Do you know, if you come in to do a decent day's shopping, if you're, you know, one of our customers who's... trying to buy an outfit for a wedding or whatever, and you want to go from, I don't know, BT's to costume or whatever, and then you want to come to us for your accessories. You know, you're not going to run around carrying loads of bags and get the Lewis home. That's the reality of it. And we have customers saying that to us all the time. It's not just a notion that we have. And I'm part of a group like-minded retailers, and we're just getting no help.
And you're fed up, I know. I can hear that.
Totally.
But you see, is in terms of that type of shop, is the city centre dead now? Is the city centre going to become just a social, which could be nice?
Well, you know, that's exactly what I think DCC has in mind. And we're going to be the collateral damage. You know, all the little independent retailers that are around this area, which give the place its character. Do you know, if you go away for a city break in England or wherever you go, you're not going to go looking for the Zaras and the H&Ms. Do you know, if you're, assuming you're not a teenager, people love the small individual shops, and they're all going to disappear if things keep going the way they are.
But are you trying to stop the tide, Mary?
Well, maybe we are, but we'll give it a good go. Yeah, but
but I don't want it to drown you either. I want you to keep going business. You have a great reputation. You're there for a long time.
We certainly are, 33 years or something. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll fight on. We'll fight the good fight.
Okay, Mary, let's hope and you're open at the minute. Are you open again since Monday?
We are since yesterday.
And how did you manage during the pandemic? Did you go online or? Well, there was no weddings to start.
We were online already, but that kept us going. I mean, that sort of paid the rent and other than that, in fairness to the government, we got, our
wages
subsidised, so not too bad.
Okay. Mary Costello, owner of Costello and Costello there, just on Chatham Street, at the top end of South William Street. Am I right?
Between South William Street and Grafton Street.
Yeah, and Chatham Street is a beautiful historic street with the...
It's going to be lovely when it's finished.
Yeah, the School of Music and all that. Yeah,
exactly.
Best school of music in Dublin. Okay, Mary Costello, thanks indeed. Mark and Deirdre, would there be any chance that we get you... could we get the two of you to sit down together? No, not in the homestead when it reopens or somewhere else, not on neutral territory.
Because we don't need the homestead. We have Mark...
Deirdre, would you be willing if we asked someone like Aidan Perry to sit with you?
Yeah, I've no problem whatsoever.
Now Aidan could be up to us. I don't know. And we get him, and he'd know all the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Mark, you said that, and maybe you can approach the corpo together, or not necessarily together, but for Deirdre to say no, if this is what Mark's putting in, I won't object.
Yeah,
and even we'll see how it goes until September, and we agree. You agree in the company of Aidan Perry that Derek and Deirdre, you agree that you will sit back down in September and sort out any issues.
If he wants to do it before that, I'm willing to do it.
Okay. Well, this is the problem, Joe. Look, it's
Kieran Perry. Kieran. Well, Aidan's good as well. Kieran. We'll contact Kieran Perry and ask him, will he mediate, so to speak. Though I don't think there's a big distance between us. And it'd be great to see a bit of... It's a great part of the city, historic part of the city. Liam Whelan and all the great footballers that came from up there. Patrick Meehan, great ball players who could have gone on to international stardom. Except they took up a modelling career, Patrick Meehan did.
And myself and Derek.
And yourself and Derek, yeah. And one of the best hairdressers in Dublin, Studio One Salon.
Well, Joe, I'm woman enough, and if Mark is man enough, he can come in now and talk to me. I have no problem about
it. Okay, you might have a sort of by 3 o'clock.
Joe,
okay,
talking to Deirdre.
No, but if you get agreement, and if you get a councillor or one or two councillors with you to say the two shops have agreed, and why can't they? And you have this petition, you said, why can't we sort it out?
But if it's sorted out between myself and Deirdre, in the sense that the only problem Deirdre has is the cover that goes over the top. If the DCC had come back and said, listen, you can have all that without a cover. That's what we do. Paint it a different colour, Joe. No problem. Make it out of brick instead of wood. No problem. We'll do whatever is involved to get it back open. We're looking forward to opening
it. It's the blanket no that upsets you.
It's the blanket no that puts us back then the few months. Okay, well, then to be proactive.
Well, given what the corpo are saying, or Dublin City Council are saying publicly, and what you and Deirdre are now saying publicly, I think it could be sorted out.
Absolutely.
Stay safe and stay close to each other. Mark Rafferty and Deirdre Phoenix. Mary Little, a famous shop in Dublin, a store is born on. Is it on Chatham Street or South William Street, Mary?
Oh, hi.
Hiya. You did ring, did you?
I did.
But I answered. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you.
How are you?
Yeah, we're on Clarendon Street.
Clarendon Street, okay. I'm mixed up now, Clarendon Street.
Around the corner from Peter's.
Peter's Pub, best pub in Dublin. And you're near Chatham Street, so, as well, near where Mary is.
Yes, we're on the corner there, across from Mary, actually.
OK, what do you think of all these new plans to turn all of Dublin into Temple Bar?
Well, I'm very annoyed about it. I mean, it's the same on Marion Row. It's almost like it's the publicans that everybody's listening to, and the small traders, like antique shops or vintage clothes shops, all the small people like selling bijou things and antiques. I mean, we kind of have been forgotten in all this.
And you are a vintage...
And people come to town to buy interesting, different things they can't get anywhere else.
To come to buy quirky stuff or stuff... That's, and a city centre would have the volume for... That type of, exactly. You can't have a vintage shop in every shopping centre.
Well,
there wouldn't be the volume.
You also can't have a town being run just on coffees and beer. You have to have a town having a different selection of places to go and visit and, you know, find an interesting, different things.
And what do you, tell just for people who don't know, Mary, what do you do?
Oh, I have a vintage clothes shop and it's a pop-up.
All right. And in other words, it opens on...
Saturdays.
Yeah.
And there's other shops like Jenny Vanders and Harlequin's, unfortunately, just gone. But there's lots of other shops doing vintage as well. And, you know, small shops just with just niche things.
Yeah. And what, is your business in danger?
No, it's a case of... Town is changing, and I've been around town a long time, you know, since the Dandelion and all that.
Oh, of course.
And I just see it changing where pedestrianisation is all very well, but they're allowing people to sort of career through the streets on bicycles.
But does that not make us, getting rid of cars, which, as you know, is Dublin City Council policy, led by the city manager?
We all knew where we were when there were paths and roads.
Yeah.
But now town is a place where you could be walking down the street and you're just being strafed by bikes.
What you're saying, they don't stick to the cycle?
Well, pedestrianisation means people should be able to walk.
Good point,
without worrying about what's coming, you know, from all angles at them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's a good point. What was the phrase? You're strafed by bikes. So they're flying, they're ricocheting everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're coming from all angles. Nobody uses a bell. But at the end of the day, you know, it is all about... you know, how pleasant it is to come into town and be able to walk around safely. I mean, if you've got children and you're coming up from the country, you want to have the car, you know, to take your parcels home, to bring your buggy in. It's not all about, you know, just people cycling into town.
And Mary, you say you're a pop-up shop. What's there when you're not there?
Sorry? It's a different business is during the week.
Okay, so you're there Saturday and Sunday?
No, just Saturday.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, and you've been there for many, many years. Now, is there where you are, what is a business that's there Monday to Friday?
Sorry, Joe, do you mind if we stick to what I rang you up about?
I tell you what my question was, Mary. Serious, I'm not trying to catch anyone out or anything. My question is there a danger that your space could be taken over as a cafe or a restaurant or a bar 24/7, so to speak? That's my worry.
Sorry, you had the same conversation with Mary, and I think it's getting off topic. I really rang you just basically to talk about people coming to town in their cars.
Yeah, but you also hang on. You also said you're worried about the city centre turning into one big coffee shop, one big temple bar. And I'm saying, which I think is a legitimate question, we're not talking international politics here, but I think it's legit. Do you fear, Mary, that your space might be sold?
No, I didn't ring about me in particular. I'm ringing about the city.
Okay. Well, your point is...
I'm just ringing about what the city has become and how it's not always, you know, thinking about the shopper or about, you know, people coming into town with children or just people who want to take their car up from the up from the country. Look, Joe,
Okay, we leave. Yeah, and it's well said. Okay, thanks, Margaret.
Thank
the store is born open as usual this Saturday in City Centre, just off Chatham Street. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Definitely. A divide over the plans for Dublin city centre. Now, I know, I'd love to hear from Cork how the pedestrianisation of the 17 streets in Cork is working. Robbie Sinnott. Robbie, good afternoon. I know you're coordinator vice, the voice of vision impairment. Well, you've issues about street furniture and these plans, which are well underway now. Well, they're well in train.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's your worry and why?
Well, we've been worried since the NTA and Dublin City Council co-authored in May 2020 a sort of recovery plan, a COVID mobility plan, I think they called it. Yeah. And so this is a long-term thing. This is not just, hasn't just sprung up, so to speak, not like a pop-up shop that the previous, this is an ongoing plan, and they've had it on their agenda. It's really only taking into account the needs or the likes of people who are mobile, fit and young. If you've got pulmonary fibrosis or you're an older person, pedestrianisation is not good for you, because 186,000 people have difficulty walking more than 15 minutes in this country. That's according to the HSE. Mm. Now, it's disabling people. It's creating disabled exclusion zones. Effectively is what pedestrianisation is.
And what's the way, because pedestrianisation happens in, what's the phrase for you, every modern European city? What's the answer, Robbie?
Well, what they say, what we don't hear is the downside of that is that elderly people or people, vulnerable pedestrians effectively, are cut off from these city centres. So, yes, they look idyllic. Young people in sunglasses and lovely holiday photographs and all the rest of it. Mm. But you don't see the wide diversity. We're all getting older, every single one of us. And it's really short-sighted planning.
But Robbie, isn't part of the problem is that Dublin, as we've inherited it, is a Georgian city with narrow streets. Apart from the wide streets down, the wide streets commission down around O'Connell Bridge, the Westmoreland Street, Lear Street. But it is a narrow street. Like Dublin bus had to, when they bought 200 bendy buses, they discovered that they couldn't get them around, the streets were too narrow, and they abandoned them.
Yeah, bad planning again. Well, it looks like two wrongs don't make a right, Joe. Like basically, if the streets are too narrow, the solution isn't to turn them all into pedestrian streets, because effectively you're stopping people who are 75, 85.
Yeah, but if a street Robbie, if the streets are too narrow, you can't get cars up and down them with safety. You can't get a fire engine up and down them with safety.
Well, we have up till now. Now, the thing is, so what we've done as well, suddenly we've been told because of COVID that these things are difficult and all the rest of it, which is, it's a ruse. It's what we need is, okay, I'm all for restricting traffic. Absolutely. We need to for climate change. But for instance, public transport, taxis. I mean, if a blind person has a doctor's appointment at 32 Georgia Street, and if that's pedestrianised, the taxi driver will have to leave them maybe 300 metres off and say it's off that direction somewhere. That is not good enough. You know, it's absolutely excluding people. And like, there's human rights involved here. Like the likes of young people or the likes of fit people or the likes of maybe even if it's 99% don't have the right to exclude the rights of 1%. They don't. And now it is much more than 1%, by the way.
Yeah,
it's,
I understand
the
that.
Majority of people.
But I'm saying there are, like, we're not building a new city. It's not Brasilia. It's a city that's there for 1,000 years, 2,000 years. It didn't come out of 1,200 years. The millennium was what, 1988?
Yeah, we shouldn't have to be living the disability rights of 1,000 years ago. I mean, 1,000 years ago, you had no, it didn't matter if you couldn't get up Temple Bar or whatever existed in its place, Viking part of the city or whatever, because people didn't care. You just fended for yourself. We now live in a society of rights, but people have rights, individuals.
So when you
have
say,
rights.
Okay, when you say this to the city council, they say they are one of their their mission statements in the reclaim the city post-COVID is that we will have extensive stakeholder consultation.
Nonsense. Yeah, no, they don't include disabled people in that. We are constantly ignored in everything. We are a disabled persons organisation under a convention on the rights of people with disabilities, which Dublin City Council signed up to in 2019. They generally just ignore our emails. They will not. And even if we do have effective communication, basically what they do is they aggregate. So what they say is they put a question out, let's say, do you prefer this cycle lane or that cycle lane, or this pedestrianisation or that pedestrianisation? It's never a real choice in the questions. So the answers to these surveys generally come back favourable because the questions are so weighted. So there is no genuine consultation whatsoever. They have an agenda and a plan, and they're going to push it through by hook or by crook. And it's absolutely, it will be challenged in the courts, I'm sure, as Sandy Mount has been challenged at the moment. I mean, it's complete contempt for the planning process.
Okay, say what is Robbie Joe at RT.ie. Tom Crow, Tom, are you involved in planning consultancy, are you, Tom?
Yeah, Joe. Not at a macro level with city councils, but just an observation. All the towns and cities in Europe that we love and think are charming have this right because they've held on to a sort of a tradition of urbanism where that's kind of been lost in Ireland. In bigger cities have been suburbanized near extinction, and now we're trying to get it all back again. I think we have to be patient, and it'll take time for the city to mature and get a balance where streets have a mixture of uses, where people can come in to a certain point outside this, near to the city centre, park the way they do in European cities, walk in, do their specialised retail shopping, such as one example comes to mind is Girona. People probably may have flown there with Ryanair in the good times, the pre-COVID times. Fantastic, quirky little specialist retail shops, side by side with cafes, side by side with people's houses. Cycling calmly on streets and no cars, you know. And people aren't grumbling.
People are engaging, not grumbling. But Tom, do you believe in decarring the city?
Of course I do. If people have profound disabilities, have to get in, you can have access and limited number of spaces for disabled. But in general, yes. And the retailers who are on talking about their people obviously with money coming in to spend a little bit in Weir's or Brown Thomas's. I mean, is it beyond their wit to walk from a car park? You know.
Yeah, but the thing is, how do you get to the Brown Thomas car park, Tom?
No, you don't. You get to one that's maybe 500 or 600 metres away and walk. You know.
And as you know, the Brown Thomas car park has a unique distinction of being in the department store, effectively.
Yeah, which it shouldn't be. We need to get that sort of thing out.
How do people walk 600 metres?
Come again?
How do people walk 600 metres if they're over 75 or if they've got pulmonary fibrosis? You're like, there's 13% of the population are disabled. I mean, you say, well, yeah, we can provide access. What does that mean?
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see a survey of the shoppers in Brown Thomas. I doubt 13% of them now are disabled. A small amount of them are, and you can facilitate those with proper parking close in. But that doesn't mean you provide hundreds and hundreds for everybody else.
How do they walk the 600 metres?
No. I'm saying you can have the spaces for disabled in the city centre.
But how do they walk the 600 metres? You just said they can walk the 600 metres. How does somebody walk the 600 metres?
The people without disabilities, the way God intended.
Yeah.
One foot
what about
in front
disabled
of the
people?
Other.
What about disabled people? I mean, there's no way providing a limited number of spaces. Currently, what we have is we've got access all areas for disabled people in terms of public transport needs to access all areas. That is a green, environmentally friendly, good way of doing things. And it means that people of all ages, especially, by the way, disabled people tend to be poorer and tend to use public transport rather than cars. Mm. So, yeah, maybe Brown Thomas wouldn't be your greatest example for the working class exactly. But, you know, we're talking about people of all abilities here, and it has to access. And if it's just about money, I'm afraid that rights, my right to my environment, my community and my society under European law, etc., trumps any financial arguments you might have.
I'm not saying it's the preserve of the rich, but the retailers who were on earlier were talking about specialist retail in which people were spending a bit more money. And I'm just wondering why those people necessarily need to drive in. I agree with you entirely that there needs to be access for disabled people, and for that you need to improve parking for those people.
you don't just improve parking, you stop pedestrianisation, because it means that people, again, like my father died of pulmonary fibrosis last year, he was barely able to walk 10 metres. Okay, yeah, so he needed to access as much as possible.
Robbie, I'm sorry about you, Dan. God rest. But, like, you can't build a city around the fact that some people horrifically and unfortunately can only walk 600 metres.
Well, you can, because it's called universal design. Our government has signed up to it. It's ratified the Convention on the Rights of Disabilities.
And cars can cars can go everywhere.
Well, it's not about that. I just said previously that traffic has to be restricted. But there's blue badges. There's public transport needs access. Pedestrianisation is a very lazy and it's just a very crude way of doing it.
So the alternative to pedestrianisation then is vehicularisation. Is that it?
No, well, you're making a binary argument. I've clearly said, this is my third time saying that traffic needs to be reduced. But public transport and blue badge disabled people need to be able to access all areas of the city. It's very straightforward. That's a human right.
I would agree with you. Blue badge.
Yeah, but you can't
Robbie,
you can't get a double-decker bus up Chatham Street.
No, you can't, but in so
well, you might get it up, but you won't get it off.
Well, the NDA or the NTA Dublin City Council plan in May actually envisages pedestrianising the whole, or just making a cycle lane for George's Street all the way down to Camden Street. So that means you won't have a bus anywhere near from all the way from Patrick Street over to the east of the city, over to Merrion Square or beyond. So, like, that's a whole... Imagine if you're over 75, you're trying to get into the... Like, an old woman is trying to walk
Stay with us, Joe, at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Patrick Kavanagh said it, didn't he? Everything is local. It began with a local row, which we think we might have helped. Sorry, just by people talking, not us. Sort out in Cabra between a coffee shop and a hair salon about tables and chairs and space and all the carry on. Now it's developed into a pitched battle almost around what should happen to Dublin city centre, a city that people love, to car or decar, to pedestrianise or not to pedestrianise. Gwen O'Connor, you're going north of Dublin, out to Malahide. What's happening out there, Gwen?
Well, what's happened to Malahide is that Fingal County Council are imposing a pedestrianisation of one of the main streets in the village. There has been no correct and legal public consultation.
Okay. What's happening in Malahide, Gwen, is we need to put up a new mobile phone mast. We'll try and get a better signal. Stay there, Gwen. We'll try and get a... Mary Whelan Heirloom, Stephen Street Lower in Dublin.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
And you're part of Dublin Can't Be Heaven Coffee at 11 and a stroll down Stephen's Green.
Grafton Street's
a wonderland as music in the air.
Yes, well, it was. I'm part of the same group as Mary and Mary, and I'm spitting feathers here. I'm literally hopping with annoyance. Listen, Joe, we have had such a battle on our hands for the last year, and I have to say, Dublin City Council have completely abandoned us.
Okay.
And Owen Keegan needs to get in his bike and get out here and talk to the people on the ground
about
what's
happening.
Dublin
City Manager, yeah.
Now, Joe, let me tell you, the other night I was here in my shop trying to get things set up. I went outside at 7:45. This street was packed with young people drinking. There were people urinating the whole way up the street. I rang the guards. They said they could do nothing. This has been going on all year. We've been begging Dublin City Council to put in some toilets or else allow the people who are selling the drinks to open their toilets. It became a slum, Joe. Now, honestly, I love this city. I used to be a walking tour guide, and I love this city with a passion.
Yeah.
And I love this area, and I love being part of this group of independent shop owners. And by God, we work hard, Joe. But to see what Dublin City Council has done to us, and this is happening all over the country with other county councils as well, and it has to stop.
So you're saying... You're saying, is it South William Street? Or I know it's all the same area, but the one area you're saying it's turned into an outdoor urinal a lot of the time.
It absolutely has. I was talking to a well-known journalist the other day who showed me a photograph from Portobello last week, and he had a river of urine in this photographs flowing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that's happening. People will go wherever they have to go, and we pay high rates in the city. This money needs to be used to put in proper facilities for the millions of tourists that will hopefully come back to the city and the people who use the city. Public toilets that are safe and clean and well managed.
And you're not getting anywhere.
We're getting nowhere. Joe, I don't know if Mary mentioned it because I came in late into the conversation, but we started our own scheme last year where we bought a load of parking vouchers and we gave them free to our customers.
Okay, okay.
Now, we asked Owen Keegan, just before Christmas, we had 3 weeks coming up to Christmas, the most important time of the year for all traders. We wrote to him and asked him to help us out, to get the drivers in, to help us keep our businesses going. The way they did in Cork, Cork City Council opened their car parks for customers. Owen Keegan wrote back to us and said, no, it's against our policy. No help whatsoever.
Yeah, sorry, Mary. There was a problem there, a slight problem. You gave out parking ticket. You gave out parking vouchers, basically.
Yeah.
And did you get any? By the way, did you get any discount from Dublin City Council when you said we're going to try and help people who want to shop in town?
No, I don't know whether you heard me saying there. We wrote to Owen Keegan, and he wouldn't help us. He said it's against our policy. It's against our policy to encourage help small retailers.
You're right. Sorry, apologies again. It's against the policy to help, what's he say, to facilitate parking. Isn't that what he's saying? To facilitate cars.
Yeah, to facilitate drivers into the city. Now, remember, the city belongs to all of us. Drivers, walkers, pedestrians, cyclists. It belongs to everybody. But during COVID, this city was taken over by stealth and against our wishes because they did not do the surveys they said they did.
Okay, it's a very strong line, a good line. Your city was taken over by stealth. By who, Mary?
By Dublin City Council and the other councils as well, but we're dealing with Dublin City Council here.
And
it was taken over.
But are you saying it's taken over by drinkers?
Taken over by people, the woke generation, if you like, who have this ideal of people walking and cycling everywhere. When we don't have a proper public transport infrastructure, we don't have public toilets for all the walkers and drinkers and coffee drinkers.
Disgraceful.
We have nothing there in place to make this happen. Yes, it happens in other cities, but there's long-term planning in other cities that we don't get here. Everything is a fad. Everything is a vanity project with Dublin City Council. And we are the ones paying high rates.
And
we deserve better than this.
And do you pay that extra premium? What was it called? The business incentive, BID, was it? Are you paying those extra rates as well?
I'm not paying it anymore, Joe, and most of our members aren't paying it because this is something that was brought in without our consent. So basically, there's a section of Dublin that's paying separate rates. And you know what that's doing? It's creating a buffer between us and the council. So they don't have to deal with the little people. Everything has to go through BID. Well, we're not putting up with it anymore.
OK. And how many in your Dublin can be having group, Mary?
There's about 65 at the moment.
OK, well done. That's a big number.
The group was started last year as a result of the pedestrianisation trials because we were hearing about all these surveys and all the wonderful feedback that they were getting.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were saying to each other, did you get a survey? No, I didn't get a survey. Did you hear about it? No.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly we were finding a lot of people weren't being asked about it. And that made us wonder what should we do. So we did our own survey.
And what did that reveal?
It was very different. It was very, very mixed feelings. And the outcome was that we aren't against pedestrianisation per se, but we were against the way in which it was being done. For example, delivery parking is a big issue.
Yeah.
Now, if it were up to me, I would say if we're going to have pedestrianisation, we have timed zones so that the deliveries come in before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Then you allow maybe a couple of hours for drivers to come in. And then in the evenings, you have pedestrianisation so the cafes and the restaurants and pubs can do well. Let everybody have a bite of the apple.
And you're saying pedestrianise it from, what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So that we can all benefit. But at the moment, the only people that benefiting are the coffee shops and the takeaway pubs. They're the only ones who are doing any business out of it. Yeah. And good luck to them. But we all need a bite of that apple.
Yeah, but I suspect, Mary, that the products that yourself and Mary sell, Mary Little, I think there's a, because you're very reasonable, but I think the coffee shops, they've a bigger margin, haven't they, on a cup of coffee and cakes and pints than, you know, you need to sell a lot of heirlooms and a lot of vintage clothes to make a few bob.
But Joe, that's not what the city is about.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
We're about heritage, we're about culture. We're about the people who come into us from all over the world, and we talk to them, we give them advice as to where to go and what to do. We help people out. We're part of the fabric of the city. We don't want just another Temple Bar.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good line there, Mary. Vintage clothes shops are a part of the fabric of the city. But you, what do you sell?
Sorry.
I know, you know. What do you sell in there? I was only making a point. A slogan here. What's heirlooms? What do you sell?
It's all Irish craft and design. Everything is designed and made in Ireland.
Oh, beautiful.
So I'm supporting makers around the country. Yeah, and I make them myself, and I support makers around the country. But I'm telling you, Joe, we feel passionate about this. We love our businesses.
I can hear it, yeah.
We work hard at them. And we don't want to see the city, sorry, I'm stumbling over my words. Upset about it all. Yeah. We don't want to see the city turn like this. It's a fabulous city. It's full of so much for everybody, but it has to be accessible for everybody.
Okay, Brendan is in Dublin as well. joe@rt.ie. Your point, please, Brendan. You're listening to Mary Whelan of Heirlooms and Stephen Street Lower in Dublin.
Hi, Joe. Yes, yeah. Thanks. And hi to Mary as well. I just want to say that I've looked, there's been numerous studies done over the years in Dublin and in other cities around the world, and it's shown that actually most shoppers who come into the cities aren't using cars. Many use public transport, and some who live near to the city walk in. There's also a small number who cycle in as well. And I think, like, you know, some of the arguments that Mary made, I think, are sort of irrelevant, like that, you know, for example, the issue about urination, which is absolutely disgusting and disgraceful. But that's not because of pedestrianisation. That's because of a lack of facilities by Dublin City Council. They're not putting in proper facilities for the public realm, like public toilets, which is ridiculous. But I just also have to say as well, just as we're talking about pedestrianisation, to take South William Street, which is just around the corner from where Mary is, they're only proposing to pedestrianise a tiny part of South William Street at the top of the street, just simply to facilitate cars exiting from one car park.
The Brown Thomas car park, is it?
Cafes and, you know, pubs along that street who need the outdoor space. And they're not being facilitated by that.
Can I come back to
yes,
that?
Yes, of course, Mary. Yeah.
Hi, Brendan. Listen, I actually think it is part of the whole conversation. And the biggest thing here is the lack of consultation. Pedestrianisation is far more complex than just putting build-outs and shutting off roads for people. The whole point of my argument is that Dublin City Council have been doing this at the cost of certain businesses. There are businesses who are closing down as a result. But also, you know, you've got to remember that no matter what the issue is, pedestrianisation or cyclists or people urinating in the street, they're not communicating with us. They're not dealing with the people who are paying their salaries. And that has to stop. The pedestrianisation is like a lovely idea. Mm-hmm. But before you do something like this, make sure that you have a fabulous public transport system like in other countries. Make sure that the people who have to drive, they come a bit further from the city centre, or sorry, than the local suburbs, they come from further. Make sure they can bring their cars in. Make sure the disabled can get access. Make sure the people who have families, maybe kids, that need to drive, let them come in. Why does it have to be all for one group?
Okay, Brendan.
I would like to say that certainly I absolutely agree we need a much better public transport network, but to help facilitate that, because of the nature of the way the city has been built over generations, there does need to be a restriction in cars going in. So you do need to try and disincentivize some people from bringing in their cars. You do need to get more people onto public transport and, where possible, get more people on their bikes as well. And also walking for people who are a bit further in. I mean, yes, there's certainly space for having some cars in the city as well. But really, we do need to be talking seriously about just looking at other ways to do things, other ways to, because we can't have a situation where more and more cars are coming into the city. It'll eventually be bad for business because it'll end up causing so much congestion, so much disruption. It'll put a lot of people going into the city. They'll probably end up going to the out-of-town shopping centres instead. So I think that, there could be an argument for saying that, no restrictions on cars coming in at the weekend. But just going back to pedestrianisation, it will attract more people in. It will get more people in to go in and explore the city, to spend time with the city. They probably end up walking around, going in to see shops like Mary's shop, for example. Maybe they wouldn't have done that if they were just, going in on the car. I don't know. But
okay, Mary, what do you think of that? That you're okay. There's a younger group going into town now, but they'll begin to appreciate the artisan and the crafts and the beautiful. I know I've seen your site, the beautiful products that you sell in there, leather products, tweed products, beautiful bow ties, every really quirky, beautiful shop. Maybe the more people you bring in, Mary, maybe they'd say, well, hang on a minute, that would be a nice present for my mum or dad. Or you follow me?
Every business has its own demographic, okay? There's a few of us that have a particular demographic, like mine would be, say, the 30 to 60 age group.
Okay.
The young people that come into town do not come into my shop, do not go into Mary's or Mary Little's. They don't go into those shops. And,
I'm sorry for interrupting you, Mary, but, I mean, I'm not just talking about young people under 30. That age demographic you mentioned, the 30 to 60, that would be a people, the whole idea of pedestrianising the space and for, making the city more accessible for cyclists or people using public transport, a lot of people in that demographic would make that switch to more sustainable transport forms if you had the facilities there, if you had the infrastructure there. And another argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, my understanding is, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been reading a few things about proposals on Cable Street, which, again, only a tiny part is being pedestrianised, but there's many independent shops along that street. And also, of course, cafes and bars. And they've been very disappointed with the proposals, which have very limited pedestrianisation coming along. So, I'm just saying that there's other businesses, other small businesses, who would have a different outlook on that. But at the same time, the demographic that you specifically mentioned, a lot of people would be coming in on bikes if they had the. I mean, for in my case, I'm going to be 40 this year. God help me. And I would cycle in but I just don't feel safe. I don't drive, so I would use public transport myself anyway. Just having if you had more restrictions on the cars going in, it would make things easier for people, to get in by alternative means, including in that 30 to 60 demographic, including in all demographics as well, So, it is a difficult thing. And I certainly, I can only wish you the very best for your business. Okay. I hope it does really well.
Both of you have mentioned, for example, public toilets in Dublin. But Mary, did you know there's a company who offered to provide free public toilets to Dublin City Council? They're apparently environmentally friendly, touch-free, sanitary. They would look after them. Now, did you know there was such a company, Mary, that are offering?
Never heard.
Yeah, no, neither did I. Did you, Brendan, ever hear that there was okay, say with us, joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at at kia.com. Joe
Duffy. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We're talking about the pedestrianisation of our cities post-COVID. Sean Dignan. Sean, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you? How's it going?
What's the name of your company?
The name of the company, Joe, was Healthmatic.
Healthmatic.ie. What did you offer to provide free to Dublin City Council?
So we submitted Dublin City Council released a tender there for public toilets just recently.
Oh, very good.
And we submitted a proposal to provide public toilets for free that we would service, maintain 365 days a year and insure as long as they would give us and help us with the use of the public spaces where we feel they should go in high footfall areas.
And where
it would cost them nothing.
Okay, and what do they say?
Well, they haven't come back to us yet, so we're going to have to be trying to. I mean, everybody knows there's a huge lack of toilets.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take a genius to see that. And going into town, getting people to go into the town and our visitors arriving is going to become more and more of a problem. So the simple premise is that we manufacture eco-modular toilets out in Sword. So we're doing a huge project with Fingal County Council, who are really leading the charge. They're putting new toilets in Claremont Beach, Borough Beach, Holt Summit Car Park, Strand Road in Sutton. And we're working with all the councils up and down. We manage 650 toilet blocks here in the UK.
Wow.
So we have the expertise to do it, Joe.
And where's the catch? You say it's contactless.
Well, so the toilets are contactless, they're touchless, they're sustainable, environmentally friendly.
Okay.
And we come with a kiosk. The Dublin City Council wanted a kiosk element. So we put a proposal in that would involve the toilet block would have, say, a coffee dock attached to it.
Okay.
Or a tourism centre or a florist or that type of thing.
Okay.
And we've identified locations like the top of Grafton Street, Henry Street, Smithfield, Temple Bar, Grand Canal, O'Connell Street, that we can install these toilets. But like any infrastructure project, Joe, the key here is there's three elements to it.
Okay.
We will be charging the customer.
Yeah.
We will be renting the coffee kiosk, and there will be some form of advertising on the side of these.
Okay. So there has to be an income.
Well, Joe, they cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
it would take us 5 to 6 years to get our money back. But if we, like any infrastructure project, if the council would work with us, and we're very happy to work with them, we work with councils up and down the country, we can fund this for them provide the toilets to the public. So it's really a no-brainer.
Okay, sounds like that to me. But remember, Dublin was offered 40 years ago an underground metro system built by a Japanese company who were finishing work in London, and the politicians said no. Obviously, there was no.
Right.
Anyway, Sean, hang on. How much would I pay to use this with my credit card or my mobile phone?
So we would put in a disabled toilet or an accessible toilet, and say one or two, unisex toilets. So you'd use your debit card or your phone, a euro, Joe.
Ah, for God's sake.
A euro to use the toilet.
Now, come here. Who would clean it?
We'll clean it. Healthmatic Ireland will clean the toilet.
Okay, it's a no-brainer. Now, is there any chance you can put a white water rafting facility at the end of it? That would get your permission. No. Bye-bye, Sean Dignan. What an offer. What an offer.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. With the Kia dealers of Ireland, our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And I see the well-known GP, Dr. Ilona Duffy in Monaghan, tweeting this morning. Amazing what changes can occur in medicine in a week. This morning alone, I've had three patients attend to trial HRT. Dr. Deirdre Lundy, as you know, has helped remove the fear around this treatment and give patients the confidence to discuss it with their GP. So that's why when Breda Fahey, of many women still contacting us, thankfully, and we will be back to it, don't worry. But Breda, you did exactly that. You went to your GP after hearing other women on Liveline last week, and what happened?
Hi, Joe. Yes, I listened very intentionally last week and the week before in relation to the menopause and HRT.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to take the bull by the horns, Joe, and I made an appointment with my local doctor, and I had a very positive experience.
Okay, and did you say beforehand to your doctor, this is what I want to talk about? Are you?
Yes, I explained to the practice manager that I'd like an appointment And because a lot of the symptoms the lady spoke about last week resonated with me, Joe.
Okay.
In particular, I suppose, insomnia, the restless leg syndrome, the tinnitus.
Tinnitus. Yeah, well, no, it's both from the
The itchy skin. Okay.
And how had you been dealing with those symptoms beforehand, Breda?
Well, I didn't put them down to the menopause, Joe.
Okay.
I just felt that this was, I actually didn't know. It was only when I was listening to your show that it came across very evidently to me. Oh my gosh,
okay.
Breda, I had an aha moment.
Oh, great. Okay. So. Breda, you had the aha moment and you landed in the GP's office. Now, what did you say?
So I had my little notebook with my list of symptoms.
Well done, well done.
And I had done my research through, and I have to say, Joe, thank you profoundly from the bottom of my heart.
No, it's the other women.
The other ladies.
You're very kind. So you have the notebook in your hand. You have your list of questions.
Yes, Joe, and I was listened to. That is the whole thing. The doctor was wonderful. He gave me as much time as I needed.
Brilliant.
He was very patient with me, Joe. He listened to everything I had to say. And because I had taken the responsibility into my own hands for my health to discuss this with him, I actually left the surgery feeling on top of the world. And, Joe, I started my HRT treatment last night.
Okay. Well, I hope it works well, as it has worked for so many people. And did a GP say, well, you know, there was a study done 20 years ago about HRT and we're worried about... He didn't resist, or she didn't resist. We won't say if it's a male or female. They didn't resist.
The absolute wonderful. No
okay,
resistance
well done.
Whatsoever. And Joe, can I just say that if I only inspire one lady today that's listening to your show to take the initiative to go and speak to your doctor. They are very welcoming.
Here. Okay.
Yes, so that's what I'd like to get across.
Well, Breda, well said and well done you. And I love the idea of your notebook and being empowered and have your, but you're there as an equal as well in terms of asking questions and getting answers. So, Breda, I hope it goes well for you. I really do.
Thank you, Joe.
Symptoms sound awful. And stay safe. That's Breda Fahy in Galway. Back tomorrow, 1:45, Cara O'Hare and Sound, Maeve Mooney as the BCO and Fergus Sweeney produced. And Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.